Welcome, everyone, to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're so happy you could join us today as we are going to be talking about our World article. And if you have your magazine with you, perhaps you would like to open it to page 28. And if you have your iPad or a mobile device with you, then you can find it there as we'll be reading the article. And there's a lot of vocabulary and, you know, really kind of pressing matters that we're going to be talking about today. So there's a lot to be learned, and I have a couple of very good teachers with me in our studio today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Linda. And we're going to be talking about migrants taking a risky trip. And this has been in the news, I mean, for months now. And I do want to point out that the article that we're going to be talking about was actually published in April of this year, and it is talking about a very specific population. Now, as we look, I mean, even now, it's just changing on a daily basis. But the migration is happening all across Africa and all across the Middle East and extending over into Afghanistan and Pakistan. The people group that we're going to be talking about, though, for this particular article is very, very specific. But they are part of this great migration that is taking place from these parts of the world into Europe, really overwhelming Europe.
Mm.
Amanda, do you keep up with this?
I do. I'm very interested in that. Anything to do with humans moving due to war or poverty or everything like that, I do keep an eye on it. Perhaps also because my family origins are from Europe as well. But I do like to be well informed about it.
How about you, Albert?
I'm trying my best. It's just there's so much numbers that are flying by, and I cannot associate it with people. We were talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions by the end of the year.
Right. It's kind of unfathomable, isn't it? Mm. And the end of the year is in a couple of weeks. And, you know, now we're in the dead of winter in Europe. So traveling is much more difficult than it was. It started quite a long time ago. So throughout the summer, we saw throngs and throngs of people coming in.
Yes.
So now people that are trying to make this risky trip have to be careful about the weather even. You know, that's a major, major concern now. But we're going to be taking a look at some of the things that have driven migrants on this journey from Africa. Now we're specifically going to be talking about Africa to Europe, as I said before, in a specific country. But before we get into it, why don't we do our reading? And today we're going to break up our reading into three parts. So if you have your magazine, we're on page 28, and let's read this first introductory paragraph.
Migrants take risky trip. War, poverty, repression drive migrants on risky journey from Africa to Europe. The first phone call came around 11 a.m. On the line, a desperately frightened Eritrean refugee on a sinking boat in the Mediterranean Sea, calling the only person he knew who might care, Swedish-based Eritrean journalist Marin Estefanos. Not long afterward, she took another call from the sinking boat. The calls kept coming until late that night. At least 400 people, most of them Eritreans, are believed to have drowned. A week later, in the worst known migrant boat tragedy, an estimated 850 migrants are believed to have drowned in another capsizing in the Mediterranean.
So we're talking about migrants take risky trip. Now, we were talking about this before the program because we see that in our subtitle it says war, poverty, and repression drive migrants on risky journey from Africa. So we decided to like really check out the difference between migrant and the word refugee, because a lot of people listening, a lot of you might think, why are they calling them migrants and not refugees? And technically, a migrant is a person who moves for work. So we have migrant workers that follow like the work seasons. I know when I was growing up, I lived in a wheat farming area, and we had migrant combiners. They would come to harvest the wheat, and they would only be there for like a month of the year, and they moved up from the southern part of the United States to the north, and then they moved back down again as the wheat ripened. So a migrant is technically a person who moves for work. And Amanda, what is a refugee?
Well, a refugee is a person who is fleeing their country to go to another country due to danger, persecution, perhaps by war or due to the politics of the country or due to the religion of the country.
Right. So the question might be, why is it not saying refugees take risky trip? And we've seen, like, throughout this whole time since this has started, that they are actually using... Actually, these two words are being used interchangeably. Mm. And I don't really have an explanation for it. Maybe this is how the language is evolving. I don't think that we're going to be calling refugee workers, you know, migrant workers, refugees in the future.
Right.
But some of these people also are probably moving for work purposes. But really here, according to the dictionary technical definition, we are really talking about refugees. Mm. And you'll see that even as we read through the article, they're called refugees, and in some places they're called migrants.
Yes.
So for all of you that are like, I'm so confused, you know, just think about these words as being interchangeable in this kind of situation. Mm. So we see, as Amanda said, that a refugee is fleeing because of war, poverty, persecution, danger. And also, if we look in our subtitle, it says repression. All three of these, war, poverty, and repression, are driving them on a risky journey from Africa to Europe. So what is repression, Alfred?
Repression is when people are controlled severely, especially by force. What comes to mind whenever I hear this word is I think of World War II. And we have the Nazis and the Jewish people.
And they were very repressed by the Jewish people were very repressed. So if you have any kind of government that is like putting people down or controlling them, mm-hmm. or especially using force, as you said, that's a very good example. Mm. And we have a lot in, you know, we can think around the world about countries or regimes that we think are using repression on their people.
Yeah, I think of Cambodia,
Pol Pot?
Yeah, Pol Pot. They used force to control their population, to control their people. And unfortunately, many people died.
Mm-hmm. And there are lots and lots of examples around the world of this, of repression.
Mm.
We don't just think of it for countries either. You know, people can repress other people as well.
Yes.
Oh, it's not only physical. It can be mental as
right.
well.
Right. Mm. So here we're looking at, actually this article is being looked at. It's kind of an interesting way of writing because it's from an Eritrean journalist, and her name is Marin Estefanos. And in the middle of the night, I guess it's in the middle of the morning, right? What happened, Amanda?
Well, the first phone call came in around 11 a.m. And when we say on the line here, on the line, it means that somebody is using the phone and they're talking on the phone, so they're not literally sitting on the line.
Right.
It means that they are on the phone, using the phone. And it was a desperately frightened Eritrean refugee who was located on a sinking boat in the Mediterranean Sea.
Right, and it's so interesting that this person is calling this journalist.
Yes.
And there's a very specific reason for it, because he was calling the only person he thought that might care about him as a refugee. And she is now in Sweden, it says Swedish-based, but I think she's living in France, right? If I look. Anyway, she's an Eritrean journalist who is based in Sweden. And she took another call a little bit later from the sinking boat. It said not long after that she took another call. And it was call after call. They kept coming until late that night.
Yes.
And how many people were on this boat?
At least 400 people.
Right. And what does it say probably happened to them?
That they drowned.
Right. I mean, I think it's unimaginable. Our minds really can't comprehend that.
Yes, it's a lot of people. It's really sad.
And it says a week later, so we go a week later, the worst known migrant boat tragedy, an estimated 850 migrants are believed to have drowned in another capsizing in the Mediterranean.
Right, and a capsizing just means that the boat starts to sink or even starts to turn over and become upside down in the water. And so these boats are just not sturdy enough to hold this many people in them.
Right, and so within a period of a week, just from this one country, we're now talking about Eritrea, okay? And it's located along the coast, toward the coast and against Sudan, okay?
Right.
And it kind of is a long kind of country that runs down the east coast of Africa.
Yes.
So that's 1,200 people in a week just from these two boats. You know, when we think of the Mediterranean, I think in most of our minds we think of like white sand beaches and,
yeah,
you know, calm waters. But I remember during the Libyan crisis, I had a friend teaching there. She was my neighbor across the hall in Taipei. And she was teaching in Libya, and their whole school, as a foreign teacher, they were escaping, you know, when Libya fell. And she said that they had to spend the night in their boat. They had a yacht they were leaving on because the waters were too rough. It would have broken up as soon as they got out into the Mediterranean Sea. So they had guards like guarding, you know, the port area. But I don't think that we usually think of the Mediterranean, you know, it's a sea, it's nice and calm, but that's not really the case. And even if you go back to Bible times, you see there's a person in the Bible called Paul, and he traveled in the Mediterranean, and his boat actually got blown about and broken up in the Mediterranean Sea.
Shipwrecked. We call that shipwrecked.
Right. They were shipwrecked because he was near an island, but these people are not near anything. They're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm.
Okay, so we're setting the background for this story that we're going to be reading, and so we see that it's involving a journalist, and it's so interesting that these refugees or these migrants have her phone number.
Yes.
It's so very, very interesting because they know that she cares about them.
Mm. And also I feel like not only because she's from the same country, but because like I feel like it's depressing to say, but I feel like these migrants or refugees, at the moment, they know that their future is bleak.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome is not going to be great. So they want to get the word out, at least, you know, like, hey, this is happening, and this is an issue that we need to talk about. And I think it's a good thing because we are talking about it.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Well, it's getting attention, that's for sure. So why don't we read this section right now, and then we'll discuss it.
Getting attention. The disasters have focused international attention on the surge in migrants attempting the extremely risky voyage across the Mediterranean, typically from Libya to Italy, in the hope of finding new lives in Europe. While the largest number in recent years have been fleeing the civil war in Syria, the migrant flow has shifted somewhat, with larger numbers from Africa. So why are Africans risking their lives in hopelessly overloaded, unseaworthy boats to cross the Mediterranean, knowing their chances of making it are so full of risk? War, crushing oppression, or dire poverty drive people to desperate choices, according to analysts and human rights advocates. The alternative seems worse than the hope of a decent life.
So we see here that there's international attention on the surge. And surge means to a sudden and great increase. Recently, I feel like there's a surge in demand for iPhone 6Ss that was just released. Everybody wants one. But yes, there's a surge of migrants. They're trying to leave, and then it's all risky voyages.
Right, and we see that it's pretty interesting. It's not from Eritrea that they're leaving from. It's from Libya, and we'll see the pattern of what happens to these people as they're leaving. But it says that it's extremely risky. So we know that it's very, very dangerous here.
Right. I think originally these journeys, you know, they don't want to cause attention because
right.
then the authorities will know about it and, you know, come and perhaps arrest the people involved. But the disasters, because of the drownings that are happening, people are losing their lives. Coast Guards are probably getting involved in this, that we see that it is coming to the attention, not just locally or not even just in Africa as a continent, but in the world. That's the international attention. But I think it's interesting to see why they're wanting to do this.
Right. Well, I thought it was pretty interesting that it says that they want to find new lives in Europe. I mean, that's what everybody is saying, that is like flooding into Europe as well. But it is interesting that actually before I read this article, I didn't really realize that this number of people from this country were also fleeing.
Right.
Because our focus has really been on Syria, ISIS, you know, what is happening in that part of the world.
Mm.
And it says that the largest number in recent years have been fleeing that civil war.
Mm.
And a civil war is a war that is within the same country, and it's different groups within the same country fighting each other. The migrant flow has shifted somewhat with larger numbers from Africa. I found that very surprising.
Well, I mean, like, war, it affects everyone, not only the people within that country, but it starts affecting the neighboring countries. And people, there's casualties regardless of race, citizen, gender, age. So
mm-hmm.
people are being affected, and they're picking up their homes where they grew up, where they're, what they're familiar with, and they're leaving.
I wonder if, you know, we're sitting in a comfortable studio here. Most of us have comfortable homes.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea this kind of repression that's going on.
Yeah.
And in some places, oh, in the next paragraph, it calls it crushing, crushing oppression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If something is crushing you, it just means it's grinding you right down into the ground. And there's nothing you can do about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the difference between oppression and repression? I think this is kind of interesting. What is crushing oppression? Anybody got any ideas here? If you're repressed, okay, if repression is when people are controlled severely, if you're oppressed, it means you have absolutely no way to express yourself. You can't. Everything that you do with repression and oppression, you're controlled. Everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no outlet at all. But also, another reason is dire poverty. And I know that a lot of people in this part of the world have experienced dire poverty because there's been war here too. I mean, it's not in our generation. It's in a previous generation, but a lot of people, you know, had cabbage to eat when they were growing up, and that's it. Or they had, you know, maybe the tops of some kind of leaves to eat or something
right.
like that.
Right.
So dire poverty just means extreme, extreme, very serious poverty.
Well, that area of Africa has gone through a lot of famine in the past,
mm-hmm.
not only Eritrea, but Sudan is very close by. I mean, maybe 20 to 30 years they've been experiencing that. And Eritrea has also felt the effects of that.
Right. So it's all through that area of Africa.
Mm.
And so I think the world's focus has generally been on towards Syria and what's going on in the Middle East. So probably a lot of us are not that aware of what's really happening in this part of Africa. And our eyes are not focused on really what's going on here, and the shift for all the Africans also trying to immigrate into Europe as well as Middle Easterners.
Right.
Okay, and we see that I think that this is a very good description, hopelessly overloaded and unseaworthy boats.
Mm.
So you know that there are way too many people and the boats are very iffy. If they're going to make it across the ocean. To be seaworthy means that you can sail, right, on the ocean or on a lake such as the Mediterranean Sea. This is not a lake, this is a sea, sorry.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, the people there, they know these boats can only fill so much, but yet they're still getting onto it. This is how dire the situation is, how much better of a life they want. They want to find a better home for their families, and yet they're cramming into these boats just to make this trip and this journey.
Well, I wonder if they're not forced onto these boats, because now, if we continue reading, we'll see their journey, and I don't think that this is really their first choice. Something happens to them that they are not expecting.
Yes.
And let's look, let's continue our reading here, calling out for help, and we'll get into more of, you know, what really what's going on and why they are on these boats.
Calling out for help. Estefanos works for Radio Arena, headquartered in Paris, which broadcasts independent news into Eritrea, a country with the worst record on press censorship in the world. Everyone in the country knows her voice. When desperate Eritrean migrants go to sea, they keep her phone number with them in case things go wrong. When relatives go missing at sea, she's the one family members call. Like many migrants, the Eritreans find their way to Libya, where the collapse of government authority has given smugglers and human traffickers the freedom to operate with impunity. Once there, the migrants have no choices, even when they discover the boats they're sardined into are hopelessly unseaworthy.
Well, we see here in this next paragraph that these migrants are being driven to a desperate choice earlier by going on these unseaworthy boats. But they are calling somebody. We saw that earlier, that they're calling Marin Estefanos. And we learn a little bit more about her. And you mentioned earlier that she is Swedish-based. But we see that the radio that she works for, the radio company she works for, are actually headquartered in Paris.
I think that makes sense because they can broadcast. It's easier for them to broadcast into Africa from a closer city than Sweden, because
right.
They would be broadcasting across Europe first. So it's broadcast independent news into Eritrea. And the reason is because this country has the worst record on press censorship in the world. And what is censorship if you censor something, Albert?
Censorship is when you omit or remove something. You're just not allowing people to talk about a certain subject. Growing up, I always remember watching TV. I want to watch action movies, and they censor all the bloody scenes or the profanity. But
yeah.
Here, I didn't even know about this. They have the worst press censorship in the world.
Hmm. And I think most of us, when we think about press censorship, Eritrea does not come to mind.
Right.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but that shows us again that the scope of the world we live in is what is around us. You know,
right.
We're not extending our thoughts in across the world necessarily.
Hmm. I think another possibility is because this country, the population is so small, and that's why they're not getting as much. Or maybe it's just because the press censorship is so bad that it's not getting out there. But thankfully, we have journalists like Estefanos getting the word out.
Mm. And I think this next sentence is so interesting. Everyone in the country knows her voice.
Right. So no matter the repression that we mentioned in the deck, the repression that the people of Eritrea are feeling, they're still able to hear her reports on the radio. So they're still able to get some radio access into the country and hear perhaps what's really happening through her reports.
And it says that, I just think this is so interesting, when desperate Eritrean migrants go to sea, they keep her phone number with them in case things go wrong.
Mm.
And I think there probably is a sense that she can't do anything about it necessarily because she's up in Sweden, but they know that she cares. And when their relatives go missing at sea, she's the one that they call. So now we see that she cares about them, but we see what's happening to the Eritreans as well. They can't just get on a boat where they are because they have to go up through the Suez Canal. It's a lot more, it's a lot messier to get to the Mediterranean Sea from there. So a lot of them work their way through Africa and they end up in Libya. And there, we know that a few years ago, the government collapsed there. And because of that, what has happened, Albert?
because of that, we have human traffickers.
And smugglers. We have both of these, yeah.
Yeah. And
but
then,
what's happening with the human traffickers?
Well, usually they trade, basically they trade humans as items or products for labor, for slavery, for sexual exploitations, and they don't, they're like profit-driven, and they treat them poorly. They don't care if they live or if they're hurt. They just want to get the most money.
Right. And they can operate now in Libya without, or with impunity. And if you have impunity, it means that there's no punishment.
Right.
Right, so they don't have anybody to be accountable for that are, that is probably going to catch them.
Mm.
And then the migrants are there, and they have no choices, but they're still sardined into these boats that are not seaworthy because they have no choice. They're forced onto them.
And this sardine is such a good word. It gives like good imagery. Sardines are usually like oily fish, like herring fish, and they pack it into tightly into cans,
mm-hmm.
and then they seal it up, and then they send it out. And here we have people packed tightly into a boat.
Right, like sardines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue to discuss this article about migrants taking a risky trip. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.